Now, a long time ago, there was a big tzaddik named Reb Baruch. He was a Rebbe. And his Hasidim used to come to him different times. Different people came different times. Some came for Rosh Hashanah, some came for Sukkot. And Reb Yankel lived far away, and he used to love to come to his Rebbe for Hanukkah. Every year, Reb Yankel came for Hanukkah to Reb Baruch. Reb Baruch himself would light the menorah. And the halakhite, and the special feeling that was felt in the shul at that time, this is something that Reb Yankel never, ever wanted to miss. And for as long as anybody could remember, Reb Yankel never missed the time. He came on Erev Hanukkah from far away, and he was there for Hanukkah, together with the people that lived in Reb Baruch's town, and people that came from other places. And Reb Yankel actually came from the farthest away, because he lived very far away. Now, Reb Yankel was very poor. He could not afford his own horse and wagon. He couldn't even afford to get a ticket on a regular horse and wagon like a taxi. So he used to walk. And in those days, in that time, in that place, there was snow on the ground. He used to go through the snow with his boots. And sometimes he was lucky it wasn't snowing so much, it was just cold. And it took sometimes a week or 2 weeks to walk all the way to Reb Baruch, but he always got there before Hanukkah. Sometimes a couple days before Hanukkah, sometimes Erev Hanukkah. But one year, a very interesting thing happened, a very different kind of a thing happened. And now you're going to listen to the story. This particular year, it was a few weeks before Hanukkah, Reb Yankel packed up his things, took his talis and tefillin, he took a few sfarim, he said goodbye to his wife, and he gave a kushit, a little kinalach, and he says, I'll see you after Hanukkah, I'm going to Reb Baruch for Hanukkah, and he starts to go. And he starts to walk, and he starts to go through the different places that he goes. And now, finally, it got to be the day before Hanukkah, and he was still traveling. The roads were kind of muddy, and sometimes it was raining, and sometimes it was snowing. It took him extra time that year, and it was the day before Hanukkah, and he was still traveling. And now he came to the edge of the big forest. There's a big, big forest before you get to the town of Reb Baruch. On the other side of the forest is the town of Reb Baruch. And there's a road that goes through the forest. But people only travel that road by daytime. Nobody dares travel that road by nighttime. Because in the forest at night, it's dangerous. And it's scary. There are wild animals. There could be wolves. There could be other wild animals. And sometimes there are robbers in the forest. And Bechlal, nobody traveled in that forest at night. Only in the daytime. And not only in the daytime, usually in groups. They went, you know, a few people together. At the edge of the forest was a little hotel. And Reb Yankel came to the hotel. The sun was going down. And he says, yes, I'll go into the hotel. I'll daven mincha. I'll daven ma'arif. I'll eat something. I'll learn some teda. I'll go to sleep and I'll wake up in the morning. And the whole day I'll travel and I'll get there right before Hanukkah. Because I've got one day left. Tomorrow is Erev Hanukkah. And I'll travel through the forest. And I'll get there, hopefully in time, that my Rebbe, Reb Baruch, comes down to light the menorah. All of a sudden, a little voice came into Reb Yankel's head. He says, Reb Yankel, why do you have to sleep in the hotel tonight? and then you'll get there late. You're not going to see all your friends tomorrow. You know, it's very nice to see all of your friends when they all come together in the shul, and it's nice to get there early. You know, why do you have to go and get there at the last minute? Why don't you travel in the nighttime? And you'll get in the morning to Reb Baruch's town, and you can daven over there, and you can be with your friends, and that way you'll be there early. What do you have to get there in the last minute? Go traveling tonight through the forest. But another voice said, no, it's very dangerous in the forest. Nobody should take a chance to travel at night alone in the forest, the great forest. Do you know who these two voices are? The Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. Because a person should not take a chance like that, really for nothing. If you have a mitzvah, and you have to come on to Mesiras Nefesh, so sometimes you just have to do something that doesn't make sense because you're doing it for Hashem. This is not really a mitzvah over here that he has to be there in the morning. He just maybe wanted to be there. And as he went to the hotel, he did not stop in. He started to go on the road into the big forest. He just stopped long enough by a tree to daven minche. And now he goes into the big forest as it's getting dark. We know that he listened to one of the voices, maybe not the one he should have listened to. And he's going in the forest. And after a little while, it became completely dark. And he could not even see the road. It was so dark. He had never been in this forest at night. Even if the moon was shining. And right before Hanukkah, the moon is not exactly a full moon. It's on its way out. So there's not too much of a moon in the sky. Maybe about a half of a moon. Maybe a little bit less. It's towards the end of the month, Hanukkah. In fact, it's much less than a half of a moon, a little bit less than a half of a moon. So there was hardly any light at all. He could just see glowing yellow eyes of different animals and hear sounds. Uh-oh, I hope that's not a wolf. Oy vey, I shouldn't have come into the forest. It's scary at night. It's too late to turn back. Started getting very cold, freezing, and he just couldn't even see the road. Well, Rabbi Yankel says, I have to dive in Ma'ariv, and I got very hungry. I'd love to have something warm. Maybe I'll make a little fire by the side, and I'll make something for myself to eat. I'll take a few sticks and make a little fire. I'll warm my hands, and maybe I'll see where the road is, and I'll figure out where to go from here. And he stopped for a while, and he built his little fire. And as he sat down to eat a little something that he warmed up on his little fire, he started hearing footsteps. It sounded like a few footsteps together, like a group. Oh, I wonder what it is. I hope it's not animals. Oh, I wonder what that is. Footsteps. All of a sudden, there come all at once a group of robbers. And these robbers looked mean. Ooh, were they ugly? Were they mean looking? And they all had swords and knives. And some of them had patches on their eyes. And they were dressed like robbers and they looked like robbers. And they had robbers' kind of noses and robbers' kind of eyes and robbers' kind of faces, exactly like robbers. And they stuck the knives and they stuck the swords right towards Reb Yankel, and they said, aha, we have somebody at night in the forest. Nobody goes at night in the forest. We know why you're going at night in the forest, because you have a lot of money. And you want to hide from everybody, so you're going alone at night in the forest to hide your money. Well, we got you, we caught you, and we're taking away your money because we're robbers. Hey, so give us your money or you're finished. And Rabbi Yankel says, I don't have any money. I'm going to my Rebbe for Chanukah, and I'm traveling because I want to get to the shul in the morning. And the robbers scratch their heads. What? Rebbe, Chanukah, shul, what are you talking about? What are these words? What are you saying? Give us your money, that's all. And Rebbe Yankel says, what do you mean, these words? You don't know my Rebbe, Chanukah, shul, you don't know these words? My Rebbe is Reb Baruch, and he lives on the other side of the forest, and over there is his shul, and I'm going there for Chanukah. You don't know what I'm talking about? They say, wow, we don't understand. What is this, Chinese? What's a Rebbe? What's a shul? What's a Chanukah? What is this? Give us your money, that's all we're interested in. And Reb Baruch says, I don't have any money. I'm sorry, Reb Yankel. Reb Yankel says, I don't have anybody. I'm telling you, I'm a poor man. And they say, well, you have money, and if you're going to hide it from us, you're not going to hide it from our leader, the king of the robbers. If you're not going to give us the money, we're taking you to the leader, the king of the robbers. And he will for sure get the money out of you. And you'll feel sorry that you ever hid the money. Now give it to us now, or else you're going to have to go to our leader. And we call him the king of the robbers because he's great like a king. And he's very powerful like a king. And boy, is he mean. You think we look mean? You should see him. Rabbi Yankel says, I told you I don't have money. If I had money, I would give it to you. Maybe you want a sandwich or something? No, we don't want food. We didn't come for food. We have enough food. Give us money. We want money, not food. Don't feed us sandwiches now. And they said, you're coming with us. And they started schlepping Reb Yankel through the forest, off the road, past trees, past bushes, up little hills and down into little valleys and around different places. And Reb Yankel says, where are we going? And the robbers say, all you have to know is we're going way into the forest, into such a place that no one can find and no one ever escaped out of. This is a secret part of the great forest that nobody could find. It is so secret, and nobody ever got out of here alive because it's impossible to find a person's way out of here. Once you come, you never leave. Except for us, the robbers, we're the only ones who know the secret out. And they schlepped Reb Yankel. Of course, he could hardly see. They had a torch. A torch is like a stick that's on fire. It showed them the way. So he could see, you know, just shadows. And finally, they came to a big tree. And they said to Reb Yankel, we're going in now to the king. What do you mean, into the king? Where's his palace? I just see a tree. This is his palace. You don't see a palace? This is his tree. His palace is a big tree. What do you think? Is the palace in the middle of the forest? I don't know. I just never saw a person living in a tree. I saw a bird living in a tree. Don't make fun of our king. He lives in a tree too. He's not a bird. Now go into the door. There was a big opening in the big tree. Reb Yankel goes in the big opening, and over there's a door. A door in the tree. Like there's a room in the tree with a door. And they make a knock on the door, a different kind of knock. You have to make a sign to get into the king. This is the special knock. And all of a sudden, somebody inside opens up the door, and they go in, and inside is a big room. And the room is a robber room. On the wall are hanging different kind of swords and different kind of robber stuff. Different kind of bags and knives and the robber things, whatever robbers have over there, they hang up on the walls. And sitting behind the table in a fancy schmancy chair is the meanest, the ugliest, the most scary looking person that Reb Yankel ever saw in his whole life. And this was the king of the robbers, obviously, because he was dressed like a king. Not like a regular king, like a robber king. And Reb Yankel started to shake. Yeah, we told you should have given us the money. now you have to go to our king, and he's going to take good care of you. And he was shaking his, he was grasping his hands, the king, and he was saying, hey, you caught me something in the forest here. Hey, must be a lot of money. Somebody goes like that in the forest at night. You caught somebody at night. Usually you bring me in the day somebody. At night must be more money. Now give it here, the money. And Rabbi Yonkel says, I told your friends over here, the other robbers, that I'm going to my Rebbe, Reb Baruch, for Hanukkah. I want to go to the shul, so I'm going there early because I want to get there when he lights the menorah. And the king says, Rebbe, Hanukkah, menorah, shul, right. And the other robbers saying, hey, you know how to speak this Chinese? We never heard these words. And the king of the robbers says, yeah, I know these words. I know these words. Yeah, how do you know these words? You don't ask me questions. You get out. I'll tell him how I know the words. You're just my robbers. I'll tell this man who you brought to me these words. He knows these words. I also know these words. You don't know these words? Leave the tree. I'm going to tell this man how I know the words, and maybe it'll be easier for me to get the money from him. And you robbers, you for sure don't know the words, so you just leave the tree and go stand outside and, you know, play with the sticks or the pine cones or something. And the robbers left the room, and now Rabbi Yonkel is alone with the king of the robbers. And for a few minutes, the king of the robbers did not seem so mean anymore. Like he's remembering something. Rabbi Yonkel says, how do you know these words? Your friends, the robbers, didn't know the words. And the king says, I'll tell you something. I mean, nobody ever came here in my palace before saying words like this, but I'll tell you. You know, I wasn't always a robber, and especially I wasn't always the king of the robbers. Once a long time ago, I was a little kid. I had a family. And I'll tell you something more. My father had a beard. And he used to wear, you know, one of those, what's it called, the harmonica? Yarmulke, it's a yarmulke. Yeah, yarmulke, used to wear a yarmulke. And my mother, she used to light the candles, and she used to cover her hair. And I used to wear, you know, those kind of strings coming out of your pants like you have. I used to wear those kind of strings. And I used to wear on my head a harmonica. I also used to wear a yarmulke on my head. And Reb Yonkel says, you mean you're Jewish? I used to be Jewish, but I'm not Jewish anymore. I'm the king of the robbers. I left home, you know, I had friends. They didn't exactly like to go to that yeshiva. And they didn't exactly like to go and learn the Chumash. And they didn't like to point in the davening to the place and say, Moide Ani, you know, I remember those things. Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, those things. We used to run out into the woods and have fun. And we used to do all kinds of things. And I used to do all kinds of tricks while I was running around. And I was pretending to go to yeshiva. And my friends told me I should come with them. And I never went home. And I became a robber in the forest. And now I became the king of the robbers. This is many years. So long ago. But I remember these words, Rebbe. Hanukkah, right, Hanukkah, I remember. But I don't believe these things, of course. I remember when I was fooling around, once in a while I went to the cheder. And I remember my Rebbe said, you know, there was miracles. And the oil burned for 8 days. Such a miracle, and other miracles like the ocean split by the Pesach and they went through. All these miracles. I don't believe in these things, miracles. Hanukkah miracles and oil burning and ocean splitting. No, I don't believe these things, you understand? That's why I say I was Jewish many years ago, not anymore. I don't believe in these things, you see. Rabbi Yonkel says, well, what about Hashem? Oh yeah, Hashem. I remember Hashem. Yeah, a long time ago used to be Hashem. No, Rabbi Yankel says Hashem is always. Hashem is everywhere. Hashem is always looking. Hashem is always there. And the king of the robbers says, no, come on. Hashem is not here in this tree. He can't see me. Oh, yes, he can, says Rabbi Yankel. And Hashem could do miracles. And the king says, come on. How can you believe these things? And Hanukkah and miracles, come on. And go to shul. I mean, how can you believe these things? Rabbi Yankel says, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Because I see that you're a Jew. You should know you're still just as much as a Jew as you always were. You're just as much of a Jew like me. If your mother's Jewish, you're 100% Jewish. And no matter what you do, you are Jewish. Let's make a deal, you and me. You let me go. You let me go. I'm going to daven to Hashem that He should help me because I believe that Hashem can see and Hashem knows what's happening. You let me go from here and I'll come back and I'll teach you Torah. I'll go to my Rebbe for Hanukkah. And I'll come back and I'll teach you Torah. I'll show you what it is to be a Jew. And the robber laughs and he says, I got a better idea. This is a good idea because you should know nobody ever got alive from here. No one ever left here and lived. If you go out from the tree in the daytime and you start walking around and you see the different places around here, you know what's over here? Trees. And more trees, and more trees, and sometimes a few bones. And Rabbi Yankel says, trees, I understand, but bones? How could be bones? What do you mean bones? What you made over here, a barbecue for bones here? No, not bones from eating. Bones of the people that never made it out of here, that got so lost, they couldn't find their way out. Nobody ever got out of here alive. I'll make you another deal. You can leave. But you should know that only a big miracle, like a Hanukkah miracle, would ever get you alive out of here, that you should find any place to go. And especially you should go to your Rebbe. It's only a miracle. If you get out of here alive, by your Rebbe's town, the first town after the big forest, there's a big rock by the side of the road. Rabbi Yankel says, yeah, I know that rock. I pass by that rock when I go to my Rebbe. Okay. If you get out of here alive, you take this handkerchief, you know, a handkerchief is like a little shmata, and you put this folded under the rock. You tuck it under there as far as you can push it. That'll be the sign that you got out of the forest alive. If you get out of this forest alive, it means only one thing, that there is Hashem and there is a miracle. And I will, as my part of the contest, I will go into the shul of your Rebbe, and over there, I will sit down and learn Torah. And I'll find out what means Hashem, what means a miracle. So you don't have to come back here because you'll never find it over here and in the first place. I will check that rock and I will see if you got out of here and I will go to your Rebbe's shul and sit over there and learn Torah. Okay? It's a deal? But just know that I've made this contest in different ways with people before, made deals with them and let them go. And I'm sorry to say, but you can still find them. Over here is George's bones, and over here is Craig's bones, and over here is Larry's bones. They're still around because they never got out. But maybe you're going to be different because you're talking different about miracles, about Hashem. So it's either going to be your bones or you're going to get out. Okay? And he let Yanko go out of the tree. And the robbers are standing outside over there said, okay, should we throw him in the dungeon? No, let him go. Oh, another contest, another game. Hey. And more bones in the forest. Well, Reb Yankel started to shake and he started to get afraid. But he knew two things. Number one, if he really means what he says, and he really does, he knows there is Hashem. And Hashem can see everywhere. No secret place is secret from Hashem. And no dark place is dark from Hashem. So Hashem certainly, if he wants, can help Yankel. Now, Ken Alach, Yankel knows he's not a tzaddik. He knows that he does not deserve to be helped by Hashem because of all of the wonderful Torah mitzvahs that he does. He knows himself that, you know, he's not such a big tzaddik. So why should Hashem help him? He asks Hashem two things. Have rachmanas on me, and don't do it for me. Do it to show the king of the robbers that you're Hashem and you can do miracles. And help the king of the robbers to do tshuva. Help the king of the robbers to do tshuva. Do it for his sake. And now Reb Yankel Kindelach went out of the tree into the dark forest all by himself. And now he's walking around. And he's walking and he's walking in the dark forest. And now Kindelach, in this story, sometimes, you know, there's a big story, there's different parts. Darf Halten Kopp. You have to hold everything in your head to figure out what's going on. And this is such a long story with different parts that all fit together in the end. In the Klal, that's how Hashem's world works. Different parts, different things. Every day things happen. And sometimes you don't see the connection, and all of a sudden everything fits together like a jigsaw puzzle. And you see exactly what Hashem is doing. Sometimes you have the schus to understand what Hashem is doing. Sometimes you don't see it. Hashem always sees it. Hashem always sees exactly how everything is fitting together to be one thing. It's called Achdus Hashem. Everything is connected to be one world that Hashem is making with a certain direction, with certain things happening for a reason. Sometimes only Hashem knows. Now we go to the Shul of Reb Baruch. It's Erev Chanukah. It's Mincha time in the late afternoon. This is the time, Kinalach, that everybody was waiting for, who came from far away and even from close by, that Reb Baruch is going to light the first Chanukah candle on the Menorah. Because by Mincha time, we light the first candle in the shul. Then everybody goes home to their own house and does the mitzvah in their house. And there was a very big excitement. Everybody's excited, waiting for Reb Baruch to come into the shul. The menorah is set up so beautiful, polished and shining, and the candle is ready to go, and the shamash is ready to go. And also, one thing people were talking about, besides that Reb Baruch is coming to light the first Chanukah licht, is somebody was missing from the shul that always is there. Reb Yankel. Where is Reb Yankel this year? Why didn't he show up for Chanukah? This is his favorite yontif to come to Reb Baruch, and he's always in shul. Where is he? And somebody said, well, maybe he didn't go this year. Maybe he stayed home. And somebody else said, no, I know he left his house. Because when I went to his town, he had already left. So he was for sure on his way here. Hope everything's okay. And once in a while, people turn around and look at the door. Maybe he's going to come in the door. Maybe last minute. Nah, he always gets here early. Where's Reb Yankel? Well, that was one strange thing that people were talking about. Not exactly so strange, you know, it could happen that a person doesn't show up. But then, Kindalach, the really strange thing happened. As usual, of course, this is not strange, but you're going to see what happened. It came time for Mincha. Reb Baruch came into the shul. Everyone was quiet, and as crowded as it was, it was like Kriyas Yamsuf. Everybody split aside, and Reb Baruch came to his place in the corner of the shul. Mincha started. Everybody davened so beautifully with kavaneh, and then it came time after Shmoneh Esrei and after Chazaras Hashatz to light the menorah. And Reb Baruch took the shamish, and Reb Baruch beautifully made the three brachas: Lahadlik Ner Chanukah, Sha'asa Nisim LaVeisenu, and Shehachiyanu. And he touched the shamish onto the mitzvah candle. And as usual, usually what happens is that the mitzvah candle starts burning, and then you put the shamish back where the shamish goes, and everybody starts singing Haner.